God have tried to limit God. Jeremiah, upon hearing that God had known him and had a plan for his life since before he was even born, responded to this amazing news by saying, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Moses, long before him, had tried the same tactic, claiming that he could not speak either. God got around Moses' negativity, and he got around Jeremiah's as well. In the case of Moses, he appointed Aaron as the official spokesperson, and he touched the mouth of Jeremiah, assuring him that the words he would speak would not be his own, but would be the word of God, God's words. That seemed to soothe Jeremiah, because he went on to be a great prophet, just like God had intended. Paul, too, tried to limit God's activity. He persecuted the followers of Christ with great zeal. Seems that it took a little more to change Paul's direction. On the way to persecute more Christians, he was struck down, blinded. God has to work a little harder to get some people's attention. But on the way, one way or the other, God will get our attention and move us in the direction that he wants us to go. After Paul recovered from his experience on the road to Damascus with his personal experience of Jesus, he became one of his most ardent followers. He moved from a point of no to a point of yes. He moved from a point of hatred and fear that led to the persecution of those he mistrusted to a place of love and acceptance, taking the good news of what he had learned to those who had previously been outsiders, the Gentiles. Our reading from his letter to the Corinthians today speaks of the kind of love that Paul has come to know. The words from this epistle are most often associated with weddings and romantic love, but that is not what Paul is referring to. Certainly, the words defining the character of love set the standard for how romantic love should be. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But in the world in which 50% of all marriages end in divorce, these words may ring hollow. And even in marriages that remain intact, we know that romantic love is not always kind. It is sometimes envious and boastful and irritable, and even resentful. When we associate the words of Paul with romantic love, we are limiting God. We are putting the love of God on our own human level. We're associating the love of God with the love that we have for another person. The sort of love that has strings and requirements. The sort of love that expects something in return. That limits God. God's love is not like that. God's love, agape, is exactly how Paul describes it. Patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful and does not rejoice in wrongdoing. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never ends. How amazing is that? How limitless is that? But the people of God continue to try and put limits on God. When Jesus went into the synagogue, he was handed the scroll and began to read from Isaiah. In the beginning, the people were amazed at the gracious words he spoke. He spoke eloquently. He had a powerful message. He said that what Isaiah had been foretelling had been fulfilled in their hearing. And at first, that sounded amazingly good. But after a moment, the tides began to turn. Someone said, "Hey, isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't he from here? How could he say that the scripture had anything to do with him? This is not adding up." Jesus realized where this was going, that in their limited understanding, his neighbors were not allowing for God's limitless activity. And rather than just leaving it at that and moving on, he called them on the carpet. He reminded the good folks of Nazareth that God had been working in unexpected ways all through history. He told them that Elijah was sent to the aid of a widow in Sidon, a Gentile, an outsider. And he reminded them that while there were plenty of lepers in Israel, the one that was healed was Naaman from Syria, an outsider, a Gentile. When he said this, when he told his friends and neighbors that God would not be limited by them, they were filled with rage. They didn't like what they were hearing. Just moments ago, they were amazed, and now they are enraged. So much so that they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't want to be reminded that God had been involved in the lives of those that they had no involvement with. They wanted the outsiders to be just that, outsiders. They wanted God to behave as they would. And to hear that God would not be limited by their limited understanding was more than they could stand. Certainly, this quick change from awe to anger brings to mind the events leading up to the Passion of Christ, the triumphant entry of Christ into the gates of Jerusalem, and the cries of Hosanna, which are quickly followed by calls of "Crucify him!" It's not the last time that the crowd's allegiance will turn so quickly to abandonment and worse. And even then, even when the people set out to rid themselves of this troublemaker once and for all, God would not be limited. Even after they killed him, he rose from the dead. God will not be limited by our human limitations. And still, we try to limit God. We try to stand in the way of God's activity in the world. Too often we find reasons for why things cannot happen. So often we come from a place of no instead of a place of yes or even maybe. We can come up with any number of reasons that something is not possible rather than remembering that with God, anything is possible. I recently heard Bishop Sloan say that budgets are the best way to limit God's activity. So often, when we develop a budget, a financial plan for the ministry of the church, we become so tangled up in what we have and what we don't have that we forget that God is limitless. And that with God, all things are possible. As we move forward in ministry together in 2010, ministry at Grace, ministry in Anniston and Calhoun County, ministry in Alabama, and ministry throughout the world, we do well to remember
that God is limitless, and that with God, all things are possible. Amen.